Hello, Cleaning Nation. It is so good to be with you once again. Welcome to the place that you will find everything you need to get the cleaning company you've always wanted, maybe even the cleaning company that you deserve. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, if you've got questions for me personally, or you'd like to hire me to speak at your next event, all those things go through our amazing producer, Natalie. You can get a hold of her at nat@growmycleaningcompany.com or give us a call on the cleaning hotline, 480-648-5149. Do it now. We love hearing from you, Cleaning Nation. Today, we are chatting with the lovely Charlotte Mendez from The Cleaning Genie. The Cleaning Genie serves the Gainesville, Florida area. I have a feeling we've got a Gators fan from what she told me beforehand. They do residential and commercial cleaning services. And if you want to reach out to Charlotte and her team, you can get a hold of them at www.yourcleaninggenie.com. Charlotte, welcome to the show.
Hi, everyone. How are you doing? And I must say, go Gators!
I opened myself up to that, and I'm way over in Phoenix, but I never went to college, so I'm not really, everyone's like into their team, and I'm like, I have no team. So today I'm a Gators fan out of respect and deference to you, my new friend.
Thank you so much. We appreciate that.
All right. So in addition to being a big college football fan, tell us a little bit about you. Are you married? Do you have kids? How'd you find your way into the cleaning business? How'd you find your way over to Gainesville? What's shaking your world?
Okay, well, I have been married for 26 years.
Wow,
and we have five children. Thank you so much. So we have five children that range from the age of 27 to 7 years old. So that's a big leap there, but I love it. It keeps me young and, within the current dance trend. So I love it. Love being a mom. I love being helping. And one of the things, my background is in social science, so I have a major of being a counselor or social worker. And what drawn me into the cleaning industry is that I was raised with a generation of women who were just cleaners. And so I got kind of burnt out of being a social worker, and I wanted to make a direct difference to the world as it is. And I started thinking, what do I really like to do? Cleaning is a therapy to me. And so I was like, how about having a cleaning company that will directly focus on helping women who are in the middle ages and helping them to follow their dreams so their dreams will not be deferred. So we do sort of many different things for the women that are employed with us, helping them to find what their dreams are, whether it's education or, a personal goal, whatever that is. But while doing that, while helping them to find their dream, we offer a great service with Clean Genie and giving the best customer service and quality care to our customers. That's our number one goal.
Beautiful. And I wanted to share with you, Cleaning Nation, that Charlotte and I, she's got such a sweet and lovely personality. She and I were talking before we got started, and she'd been, and I immediately, as you probably can, heard her heart for being able to help people, specifically women in her community. And I was encouraging her, and I didn't want you guys to miss out, or gals, that really, and I think Zig Ziglar said it, the best way to have everything that you've ever wanted from a financial perspective is to help enough other people get the things that they want. So I just want to encourage Charlotte and Cleaning Nation that it is absolutely not, well, I can either make a bunch of money and trample over everybody that gets in my way, or I can love and help and build an amazing community and be broke. It's exactly the opposite. The most successful people that I've ever known are the people that have helped the most other human beings. And that's, you help obviously your clients when you make their life better by taking cleaning off of their plate and helping them have a better workspace or home space. You help your employees by hopefully building a community and something special that they've never had. So I just want to encourage you, Charlotte, and Cleaning Nation, that the absolute most effective way to look at this and the correct way to look at this is the value that you bring to the community dictates how you get paid. So if your people hate you and they come to work only because they need a paycheck and you have it, you're going to have a very hard time succeeding. But if you create this amazing special place that everybody wants to be a part of, all of a sudden what you pay or get paid doesn't matter as much, and you're successful. So I love your heart, Charlotte. And I just want to tell you, believe it or not, you're like, oh, I'm just a social worker trying to be an entrepreneur. I'm like, oh no, you're an entrepreneur now. You just didn't know it yet. So I just want to encourage that, young lady.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
And also, no matter what we learn about your business, I got to say, five kids and over two decades of marriage is probably the most impressive thing I think we're going to learn about you. Congratulations. That's
awesome. Thank you. It's not easy.
No, I've got two. I've only got one in the house. My 18-year-old's out, and I've got a little 15-month-old. And five? Are you crazy? And you have a business? I dropped dead.
Well, it keeps me going. It keeps me going. And my grandchild was just born, our first grandchild. Nyalana. She is a week and a couple of days old, so we're happy about her. So I cannot go without saying that. So we're a very close bonded family, and so family is everything to us. So that's the most important thing, and that's why we love helping out. We help out as a family and be aging as a family. So that's the number one.
Well, I will feed your thing
that is special to me.
I'll feed your grandma vibe. If you want to send us over a picture of your lovely grandbaby and the dog, we will put it up on your show notes page, sister. So everyone can go to growmyclaimcovery.com, find Charlotte's page and see her beautiful grand. And put it, you know, if you want to put a picture of you and your daughter and your grandbaby, we can have three Mendez generations in there. That'd be awesome.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Yeah, that'll be fun. You appreciate it. Please, I'm shamelessly using you for my audience. They're going to love it.
They will love her.
All right, sister. Well, yes. Now that you've charmed the pants off of everybody listening, how can we help you? What's going on in your world we can make a little bit better today?
The most difficult thing that I'm currently having problems with is dealing with, as I call them, the small giants, the franchise businesses. And especially, I deal mostly with commercial. I do commercial and residential, but majority commercial. And it just breaks my little heart. I mean, I know we're not supposed to take things personal, but when you know that you're getting the best price and you know you're going to do the best quality of work, and then when a bigger franchise come in there and they lower the price by subcontracting individuals that do not have the proper insurance and do the work for next to nothing, it's kind of hard to compete against those individuals. So how does a small business deal with franchisers?
Man, I love that question. I'm taking some notes because I've got a lot to say on this topic. So a couple things. Gosh, there's so many. I want to get them all in. First, just so you know, I've coached owners of, there's a couple kinds of franchisees. There's a franchisees, like I believe the Service Master model, maybe even the, I think I had two maids in a mop. I did have two maids in a mop, and I think this is how they operate, where it's a typical franchise like a McDonald's, where you give them a good amount of money up front in order to have their systems. And then you pay them a percentage of your income, but and they pretty much just provide the systems and some coaching and help on, hey, here's how to run a business. And that's a great way to go. And it's usually just a flat percentage, but you're responsible for getting your own customers. And typically that percentage is like 6 to 10%. It's, and for that, they do some marketing for you and all this sort of stuff. The other kind is where, which I think is what you're talking about, but I just want to make sure everybody listening gets that there are two kinds. Mm-hmm. Other kind, I can't think of any examples. I think Janie King or Jana Pro or both of them are on this program, mm-hmm. where they do all the marketing for you, and basically mm-hmm. you're just a cleaner. It's, I hate to say that because, you know, by law they have to say that you're a franchisee, but typically they collect all the money for you. They take a much larger percentage, closer to 20%, and they do everything. They do all the advertising, all the marketing. They get your customers. Basically, everything that's not actually providing the service, they handle for you. So which is great. And for people that are not really looking to build a business, they just want to. I mean, I guess they are building a business, but there's not a lot of control there, and it's not really anything that they can sell. Basically, the kind of profitable part, honestly, is the getting of the clients, not the performing of the work. So, as a business owner, I like that position, right? If I'm going to go into the cleaning business, I'm probably going to be that kind of franchisee because I know how to get clients, and I'm going to charge a premium for that. Say, hey, I'll get you all the clients, and you guys do all the work, and I'll keep most of the profit. So that's, I just wanted to give a, does that all sound in line with your experience, Charlotte?
Correct. That exactly. Okay. Yes.
So with that, the good news is once you've got that kind of foundation and underlying background, let's talk about that. Honestly, and just so you know, I coach all of them, right? I coach mostly individual owners, but I've also coached franchisees. I'm actually speaking at Two Maids and a Mop. Their Maid Con, and I'm really excited because there's some very cool people, not just in the ownership, but the franchisees are amazing. Cool organization. I'll put those in the show notes if you want to check them out. If you're going to do a franchise, those guys are the way to go. That said, mm-hmm. I coach all three of them, and funny enough, they're more afraid of you than we are of them, right? Because a lot of people, okay. And again, I'm not knocking anyone specific, but a lot of customers say things like, oh, are you a franchise? I don't want a franchise. I just want the actual cleaner. So it's funny. Everybody looks at, the grass is always greener on the other side. So you're looking at the franchisees going, how can I, in God's green earth, can I compete with them? They're looking over at you going, how can I compete with Charlotte? I have to market the customer, and then I have to take my cut, and then I still have to pay my people. They've got an extra layer of overhead that they have to pay, whether it's what, no matter what kind of franchise. When I had my Service Master franchise, which is the typical, you know, you pay a big amount up front, and then you pay, like, you know, I had to get my own customers, but we paid, I think it was somewhere between 6 and 10% of our stuff. I'm like, how can I compete? I have got this extra 8% I have to pay to Service Master that Charlotte doesn't have. So really, when you look at it from a price standpoint, they have more overhead, not less overhead. And you might be thinking, and I'm going to voice this, so not just for you, but for the rest of Clean Nation. Yeah, but they don't pay insurance and they don't whatever. Well, if people are breaking the law, you're not looking to compete with them, right? If obviously I could, you know, somehow engage in slave trade and get people from China to work for a nickel, and, you know, but we're not dealing with those people, right? You just have to. So, and I don't, and again, most, just so you know, most of those franchises require their franchisees to have workers' comp. So a lot of people think, like, oh, they're so cheap, they're this or that. They're really not. They have workers' comp. They have the proper insurances, because the franchises are much less likely to go out on a limb and do something illegal. So I'm more worried about the guy with a mop and a bucket and hope all by himself. He's going to not have any insurance. But the franchisees you're competing with typically are going to have insurance, or at least the franchisor are going to require them to have insurance. And if they don't, that's not. They're not going to keep the business for long. And any of the real companies, the real customers that you're looking for, they're going to require proof of insurance. So you don't really have to worry about that. So anyway, from a foundational standpoint, does that shift your perspective a little bit in terms of, instead of you being terrified of them, they're a little terrified of you?
I understand their perspective, but I guess in the area where I'm in, normally the way the individuals work here is that, you know, you have a franchise and they normally just get maybe individuals who just have their general liability insurance and not workman's comp, and just a minimum amount. And then so they subcontract the amount out for like a minimum amount. So just enough so that, you know, these people are just barely, one person can live on less than a company. So we're
still going to help you fix it.
We're still going to
move into some strategy. So it's not like I'm just saying, hey, your problem's made up, we're done. I just want to start with the foundation that.
Okay, all right. But I do understand what you're saying. So you gave me more perspective on how that works.
Yeah, so if we have that belief system moving into what we're going to talk about next, it'll help you get there. So yeah, please don't hear me going, oh, Charlotte, you're just making stuff up, there's no problem. I'm not saying that at all. I just want you to see it from, that's one of the benefits of talking to someone that coaches everybody. You know, you can, you know, a lot of my individual clients, well, how am I doing? Is my cost of goods sold high? Is this how am I doing? And they kind of, you know, gauge themselves against others. So I just wanted to give you that perspective. That said, the biggest, best thing. So once you have that, first and foremost, have that perspective and just realize the grass is greener where you water it, right? The franchisees are looking at the non-franchisees are looking at the franchisees. And I promise you, you don't want to be those franchisees. Just like you said, they're not making any money. So the grass is greener where you water it. The second thing is you've got to pick your customer properly. There's so many people that say, my customers are cheap. They won't pay anything. All they care about is price. And usually that's not the case, FYI. But let's just assume that in this, for this conversation, it is the case. Well, guess what? You get to pick your customers. So there is no chance that in Gainesville, Florida, 100% of the people on 100% of the purchases they make are all about price, because there would only be one Hyundai dealership and one Walmart. There wouldn't be a Nordstrom's. There wouldn't be a Lexus dealership. There wouldn't be a nice place to eat out. It'd only be a McDonald's. So the reality is there are always going to be segments of customers, whether it's cleaning services for home or for commercial, for clothing, for gas, for cars, whatever it is, there are always going to be customers that just want the cheapest price. There are always going to be customers that just want the most expensive price, right? No matter what, they just want the best. And they assume whatever the most expensive is, that's the best, and that's what they're going to take. And there's always going to be the bulk of the customers, probably 80% or more, that are in the middle, that are looking for the best value, right? They understand that, you know, just because the Hyundai is 20 grand and the Lexus is 60 grand, that, you know, maybe there's some features they want on the Lexus, but not that many, and they're going to go in the middle for a you know, fully loaded Toyota. That said, it's so much easier to find the right customer and help solve their problem and their pain than try and convince or badger the wrong customer into believing that the pain that you solve is what they need. That wasn't clear, but that's a key point. Let me try and say it again, then you can tell me what you think. It's so much easier to find the right customer that already wants what you're selling and help them than it is to go, you know, just say you owned a restaurant. It's so much easier to find hungry people than it is to find people that just ate and try and scream at them how good or cheap your food is.
Yeah, I agree with you. Okay. I do.
So if you're getting too much of the, and everyone's going to have a degree of, yeah, I just want the cheapest price. But generally, if you ask better questions and really understand what they want, prices maybe in their top 10, it's 4, 5, or 6. Mm-hmm. They don't want to get screwed, but it's really not cheapest price. They're into more important stuff. And you just, that just need, means that you need to ask better questions. If you find out that it's not, it really is price, then you're dealing with the wrong customer. So step one is to understand you really do have some advantages that the franchisees don't have, and you need to capitalize on those advantages. Step two is you need to understand if you're constantly getting I want the cheapest price no matter what, you're probably finding the wrong customer. And third, you got to understand a lot of times people say they want the cheapest price, but that's just because you haven't educated them on what's available out there, right? When I walk into a car lot, I'm always going to want the cheapest price until the guy shows me, well, the leather and the sunroof and the heated seats. Well, I need all those things. So yeah, I still want the cheapest price, but now I need those things. So it's your job to show your customers the heated seats and the sunroof, which in our universe is stuff like insurance and picture ID name badges and workers' compensation insurance and a guaranteed service and unique selling proposition and little surprises and delights where you leave them mints or notes or, you know, all the sort of things that make up your unique services. Any questions or thoughts or concerns so far?
I am really understanding, from my understanding of what you're saying, I need to educate them in the forefront of things to get what their interpretation, what is their value? Is it more of a price or the quality? So if when I go in to speak with the customer initially, basically trying to filter out what do they want? Is this a customer who is valuing more price, or does the customer just value more quality? And then that way it will give me a path as to say, you know, is this going to be my ideal customer? Because if the customer is more towards the price issue, then maybe not. They're going to go for the lower pricing of the bid versus the quality of the bid.
Let me add one more caveat on that, because you're 90% of the way there, but I want to make sure, not just for you, but for Cleaning Nation. Mm-hmm. When you say quality, you got to be very, very careful. The poorest people I know are the best cleaners, right? It's not everybody thinks I clean better than the next guy or gal. Well, let me tell you, Charlotte, I'm not saying you're saying that, but just, I'm going to pick on you because you're here. And you were.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah. Yes.
Please. So let's say you say, well, we just clean better than everybody else. Here's the problem. Everybody, I talk to your competitors every day. That's my job. All I do is talk to owners of cleaning companies. And guess what they all say, or at least the broke ones? I clean better than everybody else. So the problem is, say there's 20 of you. Well, 19 of you are lying, right? Maybe you're not lying, but you're mistaken at the very least, because there can't be more than one best. There can only be one best. So the odds would say, and again, I've never seen any of your work, so I'm sure it's fantastic, but the odds are, just say there's 20 cleaners and all 20 of you are saying you're the best. Well, there's only a 1 in 20 chance of you being correct that you're the best, Charlotte. Is that a fair, again, not knocking your service, I'm just trying to talk through numbers and reality. Does that all stand to reason so far?
That does. May I ask you this question?
Well, hold on. Let me finish. Let me finish. Okay, and then I think we'll answer your question. If not, you can go back and hit it. The good news is 19 out of 20 of your customers don't care. Because here's the problem. Your definition of the best is very different than your competitor's definition of the best. And more importantly, it's often very different than the your customer's interpretation of the best. So you really, I wouldn't say I want customers that don't want cheap service. They want good service, because there is no such thing as good service. It's just your opinion. And the last thing that we want to do is to find customers. And again, you don't want to run out to people that that are hungry, or that are not hungry, try and convince them to be hungry. Also, if you've got seafood and I don't eat fish, or I'm allergic to shellfish, you can scream or yell or hit me in the head or do whatever you want about how amazing your seafood is. I don't care. That doesn't mean I don't want the best or I'm cheap. It just means you sell seafood. I don't like seafood. So I don't like the, and you're going to offend me if you go, well, if you're just too cheap for seafood. I'm like, it's not that I'm cheap, or it's not that I don't want quote unquote the best. I want the best for me. So instead of people that are looking for a cheap price, I'm going to look at people for high quality. You got to really understand what they think high quality is. So for a medical facility, they might say, disinfecting is huge. We've got to have disinfected. There can't be any buildup. There can't be whatever. I have a clean room. That's its own special set of circumstances. Guess what? They're not really interested in, they're interested in price a little bit, but far more interested. Are you leaving proper MSDS sheets? Do you meet OSHA requirements? Are you going, if they get inspected, are they going to pass based on your work? If you go to a lawyer's office, they're going to go, we don't need any of that crap. But we have documents here that are extremely sensitive. And I want to make sure that your people are all bonded and insured and don't have criminal backgrounds, and that you train them to make sure that they respect our privacy. It's not that one wants the best and one wants the cheapest. They just have different definition of what's important to them. So the last thing I want you or anyone in Clean Nation to do is to try and go jam your definition of quote-unquote quality down your customers' throats. It's really important to understand what they want and then select the one. So there are people who are like, I don't care. You can bring a hobo in here that's armed to the teeth and, you know, is high on meth, and I don't care. I just want the cheapest price. Almost no one's going to say that, but that guy or gal obviously is not your customer. But the guy that says, you know, I'm looking to get a good price, but I have these needs, well, then you can identify if those needs match up with what you serve. But don't do any judgment with, you know, oh, well, if you don't want good quality, you can go somewhere else, because that's not the case, right? You see how it's, I may want something different than you serve, doesn't mean I want bad quality.
I do understand much better now.
Okay, cool. We are already way over. Any quick questions or thoughts before we hit the lightning round, young lady?
No, thank you for that. That was really awesome. It gave me a lot more understanding.
My pleasure, and that's what we do here, and I love your business, Charlotte, so I'm glad to be able to contribute. All right, let's hit the lightning round. I'll shush up for a little bit, give you the opportunity to serve. Question number one, what's the best piece of advice you've ever received that you can share with Clean Nation?
The best piece of advice that I can share is understanding what you want your culture to be in your business, the type of individuals you want to hire, what your core values are.
Great point. Couldn't agree more. I wish we had more time to jump into that, Charlotte, because I'd love to hear more. Okay. Question number two, what's the biggest mistake you've made in the cleaning business that we can all learn from?
I guess the biggest mistake that I made is that when you have customers who try to lower your prices or your proposals, those I found were the ones that were most difficult to deal with. Well, you try to compromise your own.
Such a good point. You always think, oh, if I just lower the price, we'll get along great. And you're exactly right. They're basically raising their hand saying, Charlotte, I'm going to be a pain in the neck as long as we work together. So that said, will you do it for less money? And saying yes is almost always a disaster. Last question. What's one idea that Cleaning Nation, personally or professionally, just something that Cleaning Nation can put into practice right away to improve their lives or their business?
Treat every customer as if they're your first customer. So regardless of how many customers you have, just treat them as if they're your first customer.
Yeah, who wouldn't like that? I would like to be treated like that. Charlotte, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for sharing your passion and your desire to grow. I appreciate you. I know that Clean Nation appreciates you. If you want to check out Charlotte's show notes page and discover everything you need to grow your cleaning company, it's all at growmycleaningcompany.com. You can find her, ideally, hopefully we'll have her pictures of her baby and her grandbaby. You can leave your questions, your comments, your rude remarks. I will see you there.
Congratulations! You are now 16% smarter. Still can't get enough cleaning goodness? Go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com for more of the good stuff. Ever want to be rich and famous? Owners of cleaning companies as well as industry experts can apply to be featured on the show by emailing our producer Natalie at support@growmycleaningcompany.com. Until then, don't miss out on all the latest cleaning industry lovin' at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now.